Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar on our homepage by a simple click. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous Shiur, we had introduced a Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. The purpose of bringing in the source was to find a mokar, to find the source for Reb Shimon's halacha, that the minchas chotev kohanim is subject to kmitza, to the removing of a handful, and it is placed in the fire, and the shirayim are placed separately into the fire. This is Shitas Reb Shimon, in contrast with the Shitas Rabbonon that we will discuss later, that holds all minchos kohanim, whether they be obligatory or voluntary, there is no kmitza done to them. They are placed completely into the fire. In the course of presenting the source at the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the opening of the source quoted a pasuk, Vayikra Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel, that said, V'hoysa L'Kohen Kamincha. From this, the Braisa said that a Kohen has the option, even though it's not his service week to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, as far as a personal korban is concerned, he can come at any time during the year and offer his own sacrifice. The opening sugya of the Gemara in our shiur today on Daf Ayin Dalid will take note of that halacha and raise the question that this halacha is actually learned from another source. In the next few lines of Gemara, in fact, the Gemara will cite several psukim that seem to teach the same thing. And the Gemara will be asking, what is the real purpose of each one of the psukim? We have listed the psukim on the inside margin of the Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the upper part of the page, and we've entitled the list Psukim Hamlamdim de Kohen Bo Umakriv Korbanoisov, psukim that teach that a Kohen can come and offer his own korbanos, basically at any time that he wants. And we will see psukim in Vayikra He, Pasuk Yud Gimel, which was the pasuk that opened up the source that ended off our previous shiur. There's a pasuk from Dvarim Yud Ches that says Uvo b'chol avas nafsho v'sheres, and a pasuk in Bamidbar Tesvov that says v'chiper hakohen, and it ends off b'shgoga. The topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara in our Shas marking system, the cornerstone of which is the Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras that appear on your screen, you see in the outside margin we provide titles, topic headings for each new sugya that we call Nosei. And in addition to that, when there is a new geometric form that appears, we supply something called a Mivne note, a structural note. In this case, the Nosei is Zechusoi Shel Kohen Lavoi Lahakriv Korbanoisav B'chol Eis Sheyirtzeh, the privilege that a Kohen has in coming and offering his own korbanos whenever he wants. As we mentioned, even though it's not his week to serve, the year was divided into service group weeks known as mishmoros, where every mishmar had a week to serve. And this halach is saying that if it's a question of a kohen's personal korban, he can come whenever he wants. Hagemara mevareres me'efo loindim din zeh. The Gemara will clarify, will investigate, from where do we learn this halacha. Ubaderech, and in the course of finding this out, investigating this, mitzatetes kama psukim, the Gemara will cite a number of psukim. We will also notice at the opening of the shiur a geometric form. We call it the volcano shape. It's technically speaking a trapezoid. And under our mivne heading, you see such a shape. we're calling, in this case, the use of the shape a ma'akav. A ma'akav is the attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. With the narrow part facing upwards, they represent kushyos, questions, and the narrow part facing downwards, they represent tshuvos, answers. So now, turning to the Gemara, where the first trapezoid shape, the first volcano shape, appears about 8 lines from the top at the end of the line of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Ha shitehe avoidoso ksheira boi mehacha nafka mehasam nafka. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. That tells you to look back at Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and you'll see at the lower part of the page a corresponding star with an Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph note under it. This star draws your attention back to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, where you see the pasuk V'hoysel HaKoyin Kamincha, which the Brisa had cited as the source for this information, that the Kohen can come whenever he wants to offer his personal sacrifices. So the Gemara is asking, is it so that we learn it from Vayikra Hei Pasuk Yud-Gimel? Mehocha Nafka, Mehasa Nafka. We learn it from another source, and we have a Tanaic source with a Pasuk that will be quoted from Devarim Yud-Ches. It says, Minayim l'koyin sheba u'makriv korbanoysov b'chol eis u'b'chol sh'osh yurtzeh. From where do we know that a Kohen can come and offer his own sacrifices whenever he wants, even if it's not his service week? Talmud loymar uvo b'chol avas nafshoy v'sheireis. So we have a separate Pasuk that says that he comes whenever he desires to serve. The Gemara answers, "E mehasam, had I just had Dvarim Yudches, havi amino hani mili dover she'ein bo al chet. I would have thought that that applies only to sacrifices that are not sin-related. Avol dover shebo al chet, emolo. But something that is sin-related, maybe he doesn't have a privilege to come and offer that. We should therefore note that the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Gimel, we had noted this at the beginning of the Brisa, and it's found at the lower, at the beginning of the Brisa, at the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. The Pasuk there was talking about the sin meal offering, the Minchas Choyte. So the purpose of the citing the Pasuk from Vayikra is to tell me that even if it's sin related, the Kohen has such an option. The Gemara asks, V'ha nami, but this as well, Mehocha nafka, Mehasa nafka. There's another pasuk for that. And it says, V'chiper ha-kohen al ha-nefesh ha-shogeges b'cheta b'shkoga. That's the pasuk. Melame sha-kohen miskaper al-yidei asmo. From this pasuk, we learn that the Kohen comes and atones for himself. In other words, he brings his own korban whenever he wants. So we see sin-related korbanos in this context of Kohen coming whenever he wants from this pasuk in Bamidbar. So once again, what do I need the pasuk in Vayikra for? Answer, I mehaihu, had I just had the Bamidbar pasuk, havi amino, I would have thought hani mili b'shogeg. That's only with regard to sins that were committed unintentionally. Avol b'meizid lo, but a sacrifice that's brought because of an intentional committed sin, that maybe the Kohen wouldn't have such a privilege. Komash molon, therefore I need the pasuk from Vayikra to tell me that even in, it's actually a very rare situation where a korban is brought because of something that's intentional. Generally speaking, korbanos are brought for non-intentional violations. However, there are some rare examples, and the pasuk in Vayikra actually touches on one of those, that even if the sin was committed with intention, and it's one of those cases where a sacrifice is brought for an intentional commission, and that is true in the case of the minchas chote, the meal offering that's brought in the case of someone knowingly denying knowledge of testimony. It's called shvuas ha'edus, where someone knowingly denies knowledge of testimony under oath, and in the case when he really does know such testimony. That it warrants the bringing of a minchas chote, and in such a case, the Torah treats the mazid as shogeg. And the reason for that is because in this parsha of the Minchas of the Shvuas Ha'edus and a couple other instances, there's no reference to v'ne'elam mimenu, indicating that the offense that warrants the korban is brought only because v'ne'elam mimenu, it was unknown, it was unintentional. These are exceptions, And those exceptions appear under the context of the Minchas Chote, which was the Pasuk in Vayikra. Hence, even in a mazed situation, you will have the bringing of a sacrifice. As we said, that's a very rare situation. But even so, if he intentionally had violated this offense and has to bring his korban, he is able to bring it and on his own. In other words, he at any time of the year, even if it's not his week of service. Tanya Idach. We have another Tanaic source. In this source, we will feature a new opinion, that of the son of Rabbi Shimon, with regard to the processing of the Minchas Chote of a Kohen. The source opens up with Shitas Rabbi Shimon, with which we are familiar already. The Minchas Chote has a kmitza done, and it's put into the fire, and the Shirayim are put separately into the fire of the Mizbeach. The son of Rabbi Shimon, namely Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, holds, like his father, that it's the Minchas Chote of the Kohen is subject to a kmitza, which we pointed out earlier is not something everyone subscribes to, but Rabbi Shimon and his son agree kmitza is done. However, there is a difference between them with regard to the Shirayim. What do you do with the Shirayim? In our topic heading in the outside margin, we've noted the Nosei, Shitas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, his opinion, the Shirayim Shel Minchas Chote Shel Kohen Mispazeres Abeis Hadeshen, that it's not placed into the fire on the Mizbech, but it's rather scattered in the Beis Hadeshen. The Beis Hadeshen is something the Gemara will address what is being referred to. So now, turning to the source, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Chote Shel Kohanim Nikmetzes V'Hakoimetz Korv Bifnei Atzmoi V'Hashirayim Korvim Bifnei Atzmon. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hakoimetz Korv Biatzmo, the handful is offered independently, separately. Vashirayim, that which remains, however, Mispazrin al Beis Hadeshen, is scattered on the Beis Hadeshen. Omer Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Havi Bo Rabbi Yochanan, Havi is a Lashon, is an expression indicating a question. Rabbi Yochanan asked, Beis Hadeshen Dehecha, the source where we dashed underline Beis Hadeshen at the end of the source that we just learned you can see was in a frame as our alternate sources in our Gemara marking system. The Beis Hadeshen is located where? Which Beis Hadeshen? Deshen literally is a heap of ashes, or that which is, we'll call it refuse, if you will. Which ash pile are you talking about? E de la malo, if you're talking about the pile of ash on the top of the Mizbeach, there was something called the Tapuach, and the Tapuach was a heap of ashes that contained ashes and coals from the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. So that's Hainu Avuha. Then there is no difference between what he says and what his father said. His father, namely Rabbi Shimon, also said that the Shirayim go on the top of the Mizbeach. The Gemara goes on to say, E dilamato, if you're talking about the Beis Hadeshen at the bottom on the floor, this is a reference to the spot that was was adjacent to the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, a little bit to the east of the Mizbeach, actually 10 amas north of the southern edge of the ramp, just to the east of the ramp. There was a spot that the innards of bird offerings, the Olas Ha'of, were placed, and the residue of the Dishun HaMenorah was placed there as well. It was a spot that a miracle used to take place. The ash and the waste of the, or the innards of the Korbonos used to be absorbed into the ground. The Trumas HaDeshen also was placed there. That's the handful of ash taken off every morning from the top of the Mizbeach was placed in this Beis HaDeshen de la Mata. The Mata meaning on the ground, on the floor of the Azora. So, if that's what is being referred to, so the question is raised, Yesh l'cha davar shekarev l'mata? is there anything that's initial offering is done at the bottom, done on the floor? All we know it up till this point is that the Beis Hadesh and Delamato is for refuse, for things that are left over, but that an initial offering should take place there. We haven't heard of anything like that. Amale Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, in responding to this question of Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Dilmo li'ibud. Maybe, in fact, it's offered in the sense it's offered as waste, or ibud literally means destruction. That, namely, it may be, as Rashi says, it doesn't need any haktorah. It doesn't need to be offered in fire. Rather, it's simply scattered on that Beis Hadesh and Shelamato. Achichu alei. Upon hearing Rabbi Abba's response, Achichu is a lesson of ridicule. He was ridiculed. V'chi yesh l'cha davar shekar av li'ibud. Is there anything like that? Is there any precedent for that? That its initial bringing is for ibud, is for waste. In other words, is there anything whose initial bringing is not for the fire? So to this, there is a response, and the response basically says, yes, there is, and it's a Gzeres HaKosuv. And the Gzeres HaKosuv will appear in the upcoming lines of the Gemara. So the Gemara opens up with a cryptic Tanaic source, after which the Gemara will ask, well, what is going on in this source? What's it saying? And Abaye and Rava will offer their responses. But from the entirety of the upcoming discussion, we will discover that there is such a concept of something that's set, that's brought initially for non-offering purposes. Toni avua de Rebbe Oven, kol minchas koyin kol yotiyeh lo se ochel. La'achila hikshesiyo velo ledovar acher. That's the source, and as we said, the source in and of itself is a bit cryptic. Therefore, the Gemara asks, "My ko'omar, what is being said here? Omar Abaye, hochi ko'omar. Thusly, it is speaking." And he, in the frame here, we supply the new understanding. Kol minchas kohen, loy soichal, that's choivoso. The every mincha of a kohen, lo sochal, means there's a prohibition of eating it, but a kmitza is removed from it. That's referring to obligatory meal offerings. That's choivoso. Kolil tiyeh, which means it's completely burnt, namely there's no kmitza removed from it, that's nidvosoi. That's a voluntary meal offering that a kohen brings. You'll notice Abaye cited the pasuk kol minchas kohen, but when he presented it, he presented the end of the pasuk out of order. He presented first lo se'ochel, which is at the end of the quote, and then he went on to cite kolil tiyeh afterwards, which was earlier in the pasuk. Amale Rava. Rava, upon hearing Abaye's presentation, he says, Sakino Harifo Mifsika Kroi, a little bit of a sarcastic remark. He says, a sharp knife cuts up sukkim like that, to cite earlier that which appears later. Ela Omar Rava. Rava presents his version, which essentially is very similar. It says, Kol Minchas Kohen Kolil Tiyeh. Any mincha that a kohen brings shall be completely burnt. That's nidvoso. So even as far as Rava is concerned, the kolil tiyeh is referring to the nedava. It's just that Rava presents the pasuk in the order that the words appear. Lo se'ochel, that's a reference to chovaso. As far as the chova is concerned, there is a handful removed, and it's unlike the nedava, where no handful is removed, where the whole thing is placed in the fire. In the case of the chova, we don't say that, but rather there is a handful that's removed, and the handful is placed in the fire. And as far as the balance is concerned, so there you've got the possibility of Rabbi Shimon's Shita that held its Mispazer Abe Sedeshin, because the Din HaKtorah is stated in the case of the Minchas Chova only on the Kemitza. The Epuch Ano, why not say that the Nidova is that which is subject to the Kemitza? So the Gemara will answer an answer, but before we go on to the answer, a little word of introduction is necessary. The Pasuk that we are darshaning right now, Vayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Tezayin, is preceded by a topic in Pasuk Tezvav known as the Minchas Chavitin. Minchas Chavitin was a daily obligatory korban brought by the Kohen Gadol, and the Minchas Chavitin was placed completely in the fire without a handful being removed. At this point in the Gemara, we're going to analyze, we have a choice right now of the Minchas Chova or a Minchas Chova of any Kohen, not the Kohen Gadol. We're talking about across the boards, a general type of issue, the obligatory versus voluntary meal offerings of a Kohen. And we know that only one of them is treated like the Minchas Chavitin, and namely that it's put completely into the fire. The question confronting us right now is, which one of these two, the Nedava or the Chova, should we compare to the Minchas Chavitin? So the Gemara says, Mistabra Nidvaso Havele Lirbuye. It's most likely that the Nedava is brought without a Kemitza, and we will include it as the one like the Chavitin, which was the subject of Pasuk Tes Vav. And the Chavitin was also without a Kemitza. Shekain, because of the following, we've numbered off the next few words or phrases with numbers 1, 2, and 3, because of the following 3 points that they have in common, namely the Nedava, the voluntary meal offering, and the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen. And what are the 3 points? Tadira, frequency. The Minchas Chavitin was brought every day, and a Minchas Nedava could be brought every day too, if someone should desire to volunteer bringing such a thing. That's, of course, as opposed to a Minchas Chote, which you could have a situation where it's never brought. Lo Choti, both the Chavitin and the voluntary offering are non-sin related, so they have that in common. And the third thing that the Nedava has in common with the Chavitin, Bosim Reche, literally pleasant smell, but that's a function of it having been mixed with oil and Lavona. Lavona, a type of spice, giving off a nice smell, a nice scent. This is as opposed to the Minchas Chote, which was without the Lavona and Shemen. The Gemara asks, well, Adarabba, if you're looking for common denominators, I could say to the contrary, Chavoso HaBelir Buye, the obligatory meal offering of a Kohen should be compared to the Minchas Chavitin, Shekein Isaron. They both have a fixed amount, a fixed quantity, and Isaron is a measure, a dry measure. And that's not the case in the case of a Minchas Nedava, where he could bring many Isronos if he should so desire. And Chova, the Chavitin and the Minchas Chote are both obligatory. So you see that there are these points that the Chova has in common with the Chavitin, directing us to say that there should be no Kemitza done by the Chova. The Gemara says, nevertheless, Hanoch Nefishan, the 3 points in common that the Nedava has with the Minchas Chavitin is greater in number than the 2 points that the Minchas Chova has in common with the Chavitin. Up to this point, we were focusing on Shitas Rav Shimon, and we saw how he darshaned the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Hei, V'hoysel HaKohen Kamincha. At this point, the Gemara wants to know, what do the Rabbonon, who are cholek on Rav Shimon, what do they darshan from the psukim that we have been presenting till now? We mentioned a pasuk in Vayikra Hei. We should be a little more accurate and refer to the pasuk in Vayikra Vav. Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Tezayin. We saw Reb Shimon learn from the Pasuk V'chol Minchas Kohen Kol Utiyah Lo Se'ochel, how Reb Shimon darshan that and came to his conclusion with regard to the need for Kemitza by a Minchas Chote. The Rabbanan, as we mentioned already a few times, disagree, and they say that a Minchas Chote is treated like the Minchas Nedav, and there's no Kemitza. Therefore, what do the Rabbanan do with that Pasuk? The Rabbanan, I call Minchas Kohen Kol Yotia Lo Seochel My Avdilei. What do they learn from that Pasuk? Miboya Lohu Rechidesanya. They need it for the following teaching, the teaching that's contained in the following Tanaic source. Before we go further in the source, we should just point out that there is a Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tesvav, and we've written the Psukim on the inside margin. Pasuk Tesvav is associated with the Chavitin. It says there, V'alkeinah Moshiach Tachtov Mibonov Yaseh Oso Chok Olam Hashem Kolil Toktar. In this Pasuk, you see Kolil Toktar, completely burnt. There's no reference to a prohibition of eating it. Now, in Pasuk Tezayin, which deals with general Minchas Kohen, it says, V'chol Minchas Kohen Kolil Tiyeh Lo Se'ochel. Here, you have a reference to the prohibition of eating the mincha brought by a kohen. However, the idea of haktorah, of it being completely burnt, is not mentioned. So the Gemara now, using those psukim as a jump-off point, presents this brisa, Einli Ela El Yoina. El Yoina is the earlier pasuk, the chavitin, pasuk tezvav, b'kolil toktar, the tachtona, the parsha of the minchas kohen, pasuk tes zayin, below say ochel. Minayin litein esomur shelzeh bozeh, besomur shelzeh bozeh, from where do I know that at the end of the day, both halachas, namely kolil tiyeh and kolil toktar, and the lo sasa on the achila shall apply. Both of those points shall apply to both. Talmud Lomar, kolil l'gezeira shava. The word kolil is cited in both psukim, and this serves as a gezeira shava, a word comparison. Nemar kan kol, the nemar lalom kolil. It says in the chavitin kolil, and it says in the minchas kohen kolil. Ma lahalon b'kolil toktar, just like by the minchas chavitin, it's to be burnt completely. Af kan, by the standard minchas kohen, it's also to be b'kolil toktar. Uma kan, by the standard minchas kohen, li tein loisas al chiloso. Af lahalon, so too by the minchas chavitin, li tein loisas a negative command, a negative violation of al achiloso. In other words, the Torah issues a command saying not to eat it, and if one does eat it, so he's in violation of that commandment. And that will be the case not only by a standard minchas kohen where the pasuk says it explicitly, but the same thing by the minchas chavitin. If one eats from that, he will likewise be in violation of lo se'ochel, even though it doesn't say so explicitly in pasuk tesvav, but that's what the gzera shava teaches us. Boi ravina kohen she'ochal min ho'emurim mahu. Emurim are the innards of animal sacrifices. These innards are not to be consumed. The innards of sacrifices are offered in the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. The question Ravina is going to ask focuses on a Kohen that eats from the innards. Up till now, we've spoken about the prohibition of the eating of the mincha brought by a Kohen. What about the Kohen who eats from the innards that he's not supposed to eat? The Gemara will tell us that as far as the lav of Zoros is concerned, Zoros meaning someone who is, literally Zoros is a reference to a non-Kohen, But technically speaking, zar is a stranger. And one who is a stranger, one who is prohibited from doing something or partaking of something, whatever his technical status is, he can be called a zar. So if a kohen, for example, is not allowed to eat from the innards, with regard to the innards, he is called a zar, as if he were, let us say, a non-kohen. So as far as that violation of Zorus is concerned, where the Pasuk says, V'chol zar lo yochal kodesh, that's obviously being violated when a Kohen eats from innards. That is not the question. What is the question? That will be clarified at the top of Amud Beis. So, boy, Ravina, Kohen she'ochal min ho'emurim mahu. Lav de Zorus, the lav means the negative command of Zorus, which we pointed out in the Rashi Ksav Yad at the very bottom, cites the pasuk of V'chol zar lo yochal kodesh. That's not the question of Ravina. That's lo ka mi violi. That doesn't bother me, meaning it's obvious to me that he is in violation of Zorus. If he eats the innards, ki ka mibayali lav de kolil tia mai. I'm interested in knowing: does the lav, the negative command of eating something that's supposed to be completely burnt, apply to the innards? So kolil tia we know is stated by the mincha. The Rashi Ksav Yad wants to know, explains that the Kolil tia, though it's found in the case of menachas, is it limited to menachas, to meal offerings, or does it apply to animal offerings as well, namely the innards? Omar le Rav Aharon le Ravina, a very rare appearance of this individual named Rav Aharon, he says to Ravina, who asked the question, Toshma, Rav Aharon says, you can conclude your question from the following source. Desanya, Rav Elazar Omer, Kol shehu b'kolil tiyeh, anything that is supposed to be burnt, litein loisase al achiloso, one is in violation of a negative command if he eats it. So that from this source you see that it says kol shehu, anything that's under the command to be burnt, and not limited to meal offerings, is in fact in violation of this command. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new Mishnah, and we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. We feature here a Roman numeral 1 and 2. These actually correspond to the numbering that you see in the Mishnah itself. The first category in this Mishnah are Dvorim Shekulam Mizbeach. There will be three examples of things that go completely to the Mizbeach, and the Kohanim have no portion in it. The second category will be just the opposite. There will be two items cited as going completely to the Kohen, and nothing to the Mizbeach. The Gemara will be questioning that, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading that follows, we will address that. But before we get to that, let's first learn the Mishnah. Minchas Kohanim, Uminchas Kohen Moshiach, that's the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, the Minchas Chavitin. Uminchas Nesachim, these are meal offerings that are brought as accompanying animal sacrifices. Lemizbeach, V'ein Bohen LeKohanim. These are completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim get no portion of it. Ubozeh, Yofe Koyach Mizbeach Mikoyach HaKohanim. In these, and the word is an exclusionary expression, this word ubazeh, in these and in nothing else, do we say that the Mizbeach has a supreme strength, so to speak, over the Kohen. Namely, that only the Mizbeach gets and the Kohen get nothing. Another category, Shtei HaLechem, the Lechem HaPonim, Ne'echolim L'Kohanim, the Shtei HaLechem are the two loaves brought on Shavuos, and the Lechem Aponim are the 12 loaves that sat from week to week when they were renewed every Shabbos, that sat in the Hechal on the Shulchan. Necholim leKohanim ve'in bohem leMizbeach. These are given to the Kohanim for eating. The Mizbeach gets nothing of those. Ubozeh And again, we've emphasized with our double underline this expression ubazeh, in these and in nothing else do we say yofe koyach hakehanim mikoyach hamizbeach, that the kohanim have ultimate strength and preference over the mizbeach, where it gets nothing. The Gemara asks, and here we have our triangle, and it's featured in the Nosei Mivneh, in the outside margin. This triangle is a ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of actually a rather vigorous back and forth discussion. With the point facing up, they represent kushos. With the point facing down, tshuvos, responses. HaGemara she'elis v'suleko. The Gemara asks, are there no other examples? Hayim ein oy dvorim chutz mimah shehuska b'mishnah shekulu mizbeach ol ha'kohen. With regard to category 1 and 2, are these truly exclusive examples, and nothing else can fit into these categories? So, focusing on the resha for the time being, where three items were listed as kulo lemizbeach, the Gemara asks, v'su leka, are there no other examples of things that are kulo lemizbeach u'ika oila? Is there not the ola sacrifice? This is an animal sacrifice, that none of which was eaten by the kohen. It was all of the meat was burnt. The Gemara answers, it's true that all of the meat was burnt. However, ika oira lekehanim, the ola was skinned, and the skin was given as a gift to the kohanim. So it's not accurate to describe the ola as exclusively mizbeach. Question, va'ika ola sa'of, is there not the ola sa'of, the ola bird offering, which was tossed completely into the fire? The Gemara answers, not completely, because ika oira, the ika mura v'noitza, there were the innards of the of the bird offering, of the ola sa'of, that were taken out, and we mentioned on the Omed Aleph, the Beis Hadesh and Lamata, and we mentioned that the innards of the bird offering, of the ola sa'of, were put onto that spot. So the Mizbeach doesn't get all of it. Some of it was placed on the floor, on the Beis Hadesh, and off to the side of the ramp. V'ha ika nesachim, are there not the wine offering that accompanies wine offerings that are brought to the Mizbeach? So the Gemara answers, yes, but it's not put in the fire. L'shisin asli, they're poured down the tubes. So when we speak about things that are completely put in the fire, and we cite three examples and nothing else, in fact, there is nothing else that's put on the fire on the top of the Mizbeach, where the Kohen gets nothing of it. And even though the Nesachim, the Kohen doesn't get anything from it, nevertheless, it doesn't go into the fire. It goes into the Shisim, which, as we said, are tubes that are on the top of the Mizbeach that lead down into the ground. The Gemara asks, Umai Bizu, what is the intention of saying Bizu? Bizu meaning in this and in nothing else. What are we attempting to exclude? What is the Mishnah attempting to exclude? Answer, Lafuki Midishmuel. The Mishnah is trying to push aside or discount an opinion that Shmuel mentions, the Omar Shmuel, Hamesnadiv Yayin Mevio Mezalfo Agabi Ishim. Shmuel says that one who volunteers to bring a wine offering brings it and sprinkles it on the fire. Even though it's a liquid, he sprinkles it over the fire. So that according to Shmuel, there would be an additional example of something that's Kulo Lamizbeach. Komash Molo de Lishisin Asli. This Mishnah is telling us not like what Shmuel claims, but rather it goes into the tubes. On the other hand, there's an aspect, or there's a din of Shmuel that this Mishnah supports, and a different din of Shmuel's. Messiah Le Shmuel, the Mishnah supports a comment of Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel Misnadev Shemen, one who brings a voluntary oil offering to the Beis HaMikdash, Komtso Ushurov Necholim. The Kometz, a handful of oil, is placed in the fire, but the balance is eaten by the Kohanim. So the Shemen, would not be an example of something that's put completely into the fire. And our Mishnah, in fact, says only three things and doesn't mention shemen. So that the absence of shemen in the list of things that go completely to the Mizbeach actually supports Shmuel's halacha with regard to one who volunteers an oil offering. Shtei halechem v'lechem aponim. The Mishnah mentioned these are the only examples of things that the Kohen gets exclusively and the Mizbeach gets nothing of it. The Gemara asks, Vesu Leka, are there no other examples of things that are Kula Kohanim? Vo'ika Chata Sa'of, the bird sin offering. That's something that the Kohen gets completely. The Gemara answers, Ika Doma, well, its blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so the Kohen doesn't get that part of the bird. Vehoika lug shemen shel metzora. Is there not the oil that's brought as part of the purification process of someone who was a metzora? Is it not so that the Kohen gets that? So the Gemara answers, but he doesn't get all of it. Ika matanosov. There are applications made from that flask of oil before the Kohen gets it. These applications are made on the client, on the Metzora who's coming for his Tara, and there's also sprinkling that's done with that oil. It's only that which remains that the Kohen gets. So it's not something that the Kohen gets in its entirety. The Gemara asks, Umai Bazu, what is intended by the expression Bazu? Which, as we said before, with regard to the Resha, we can mention it here as well. It is an exclusive. Something is being excluded. So what is being excluded by the term bazu? The Gemara answers, Lafuke mimandom ashtei halechem abos bifnei atzmon l'sreifa asyon. There is an opinion that says that the shtei halechem which are brought on Shavuos, generally the kivsi atzeres, the two sheep, accompany this two-loaf offering. However, in the event that the sheep are not brought, and the shtei alechem come by themselves, there's an opinion that says that they're tossed into the fire. They're burnt. Well, let's say they are burnt. Komash Molon, the Mishnah, by citing the shtei alechem as going to the Kohanim, is telling us Debezu Yofe Koyach Kohanim Le'olam, that even when the shtei alechem come by themselves, they are not tossed into a fire, but they are given to the Kohanim. The Mishnah. This Mishnah will deal with the adding of oil to meal offerings and other aspects of how to deal with the various kinds of meal offerings and oil. Kol ha-menochus anasis bekli. All meal offerings that are prepared in a vessel, included in that would be things like the machvas and the marcheshes, to the exclusion of what's known as the minchas maife tanur, these menachas that are processed or prepared in a vessel, ta'unois shloisha matnas shemen, they require three oil applications. It might be noted that we have them numbered as 1, 2, and 3, but that's for convenience purposes. What appears here as number 3, in effect, is really the first oil application. It's explained by Rashi that the way to understand the Mishnah, therefore, is that Yitzika and Belila are done when Matnas Shemen had been done earlier. So, the three are Yitzika. This is a pouring of oil on the mincha after it's already been mixed up with its oil. It's in effect, as we said, the last stage of oil application. Ublila, that in fact is a middle stage and appropriately listed as number 2. Umatan shemen bekli kodim asiyosan. This is the first oil application. Before the flour is put into the vessel, oil is placed first, so that the solus, when it's placed in the flour, when it's placed into the vessel, it's being placed into oil that's already there. So the oil, there's an initial oil poured into the vessel, the flour is added, then there is oil added to the flour and it's mixed together, and after that there is a final yitzika, pouring of oil. We mentioned before that this is to the exclusion of the minchas maife, there is no requirement of it being prepared in a vessel. So it doesn't have all of these matonas. The Mishnah goes on to say, Chalois Boilulon, Divrei Rebbe. Chachomim Omrim Soles. If we look at the lower part of the page where there's the Rashi Ksav Yad, so on the first line of the Rashi Ksav Yad, let us correct ourselves, at the lower part of the Rashi Ksav Yad, you'll notice there is a line that has a double asterisk accompanying it, the top of the line. V'hachalois boilon leminchas machvas umarcheshes kishen chalos afuyois boilon shechozer upoisison v'noisein shemen levololon. This opinion that says chalos boilon means after the minchas machvas and marcheshes are baked into loaves, they are subsequently broken apart, that's poisison, and after the psisa, oil is added, after the psisa is done, oil is added, and at that point, the oil is mixed together with the pieces. That's the opinion of Rebbe. That's chalois boilon. The chachomim omrim soiles. The chachomim say that the belila with the oil, the mixing with the oil, the second mixing, is done prior to its being baked into loaves. The Mishnah goes on with regard to a minchas maife. The minchas maife, the Torah talks about it being either chalos or rikikin. So if you bring it as chalos, it's a type of loaf, as opposed to rikikin, which is a different type of loaf. So if you bring it as chalos, teunois belila. Rikikin, if you bring it as rikikin, then Meshicha, then it's not mixed together with oil, but rather oil is smeared onto them. Ketzad Moshchan, what does the smearing look like? Kamin Ki. Ki is a Greek letter, so that the oil is smeared on them, forming or in the shape of this Greek letter called Ki. Bashar, the rest of the oil, necholim lekehanim. The rest of the oil that's left after you do this smearing is given to the kehanim. The Gemara asks, limute mai. Our Mishnah that opened up by speaking about the menachas that are made in kelim, in vessels, to the exclusion of what? What is not prepared in a vessel? Omar Rebbe Ramar Papa Limute Minchas Maife. To the exclusion of the Minchas Maife, where there is no kli that's mentioned in its preparation. It's rather sanctified in the tanur, it's baked in the tanur in an oven. Tanur Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that extends till the top of Ayin Hay. V'im minchas marcheshes korbanecho solus p'shemen teoseh. Melameid shetuna matan shemen v'kli. This pasuk suggests that the oil must be put into the vessel. Before going further, we have a little note that's taken from the Rashi. That's at the bottom corner of the page. The little note has a title. It says, B'marcheshes ksiv. In the case of the minchas marcheshes, marcheshes is the name of a type of vessel, a deep vessel. It mentions matan shemen bekli, the need to put the oil in the vessel before the flour is added. There's another pasuk that deals with the minchas machvas, and in that pasuk it talks about the belila and the yitzika, the other stages, the second and third stages of oil application. So by the marcheshes you have only a reference to the matan shemen bekli. In the machvas you have a reference to blila yitzika, no reference to matan shemen bekli. at the end of the day, we want to know that three oil applications apply to both the Marcheshes and the Machmas. So this pasuk that opened the source deals with the Marcheshes, and it says that this pasuk teaches us about the need for Matan Shemen Bekli. Korboncha, korboncha. We have the words korboncha by the Marcheshes and by the Machmas. Legezera shava, to serve as a word comparison, and to teach one topic teaches me concerning the other. Matan, matan shemen bekli, just like by the Marcheshes, there is the need to pour oil initially into the vessel. Af lahalon, so too by the Machmas, matan shemen bekli. Uma lahalon, and by the Machmas, it says, yitzika ublila, the Torah talks about the need for those oil applications. Af kan, so too by the Marcheshes, yitzika ublila, there is the need for those as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.